Many of you know our brother Hercules Gonos from Athens, Greece. His title this afternoon, I'll warn you, it's a long one, "The Captain of the Host of the Lord saith unto his people, shout with a great shout." Brother Gonos.
Dear brother and sisters, happy to see you. Greetings of love from the brethren in Greece. Many of them are old and sick. Now, my talk. This script is entitled, "The Captain of the Host of the Lord saith unto his people, shout with a great shout." When Joshua was near Jericho, the commander-in-chief of the host of the Lord looked over against him and said unto him, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." Following that, he ordered, "You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And when ye hear the sound of the trumpets, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And on the 7th day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." Joshua chapter 5 and 6. The antitypical meaning of this biblical event is very well known to us. The 7th day of the Sabbath day, the Lord of which is our Lord Jesus, has begun since 1874. The same thing that had been done by Israel in Jericho at that time is being done today by spiritual Israel. It is compassing the city of Christendom, blowing the trumpet of present truth and announcing the fall of antitypical Jericho. Worldwide events indicate to all those who bear the Ark of the Covenant, which is suggested that it illustrated the embodiment of Jehovah's plan, the internal purpose of God for mankind in the Christ, Tabernacle Shadows, pages 121, that we are just a short while before the great shout of the 7th day we are now living through. Shout means either a war cry or a shout of joy and enthusiasm. In this particular case, both meanings are to be taken into consideration. These scriptural eyes of the saints are observing, and they see that during this 7th day, both fleshly and spiritual Israel are each going through their own war phases in parallel, and that both Israels are already near that final phase, which will sound the great shout. In the year 1878, the double of fleshly Israel ended. In the same year, 1878, the Lord Jesus undertook the position of the king and the special work which was the proclamation of the king's command, come out of here, Babylon, my people, that ye not be partaker of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation and 2 volumes. While, however, this was our returned Lord Jesus' first harmonious proclamation of command, as concerning each of the two Israels, though silently proclaimed regarding fledged Israel and the well as a thief in the night, his last harmonious proclamation of command is going to be the great shout, but this time obvious to both Israels. First, however, to spiritual Israel, and following that, to fledged Israel. The Lord seems to be already facing this battle, which he will sound this great shout, rise and shout. Another picture comes before our eyes and concerning this subject. This is the crossing of Jordan. This crossing is represented for spiritual Israel by the smiting of the waters of Jordan by antitypical Elijah and his mantle, and for fledged Israel by that war undertaking, which will signify the expansion of the nation of Israel to those boundaries which God promised Abraham. Both of Jordan crossings, the real one and the antitypical one, seem to almost coincide chronologically with the seven times of the 7 day, which will soon end up at the great shout of the seven time round of Jericho. The crossing of Jordan by the Jews to extend Israel's boundaries will on one hand sound a great shout for them, but this shout will be temporary because yet another, but last anguish is awaiting them. It is the one described in Ezekiel's 37 and 38 chapters. It is for certain, though, that the crossing of Jordan by fledged Israel with the involvement of multinational forces will have consequences of worldwide radius and importance. We can localize these consequences in the following areas. In the Middle East geographical area, and especially so in the Israeli nation area. In the worldwide economic and social area, in the international ecclesiastical area, and more specifically in the Christendom area, and finally in the most important area to us, the area of full activity and the circumstances of deliverance and exaltation of the very last members of church, more analytically on above mentioned. In the geographical area of the Middle East, what is more than obvious is a territorial rearrangement of this area and the nation within, with the momentous result of Israel getting the boundaries promised to Abraham by God. Moreover, of this, Israel will receive cattle and goods according to Ezekiel's expression in chapter 38 and verse 12. This denotes all contemporary prosperity and industrial development for Israel, along with the constituting of the destroyed area of which it will take possession. This territorial expansion of Israel and its prosperity will rekindle the already smoldering anti-Semitism, so that all Jews from all nations will be forced to immigrate to the land of promise. It is already a fact that tens of thousands of Russian Jews have been immigrating to Israel, where they cannot find either a job or a place to live in. As a result of this, there will be a further consequence as concerning Israel caused by its enemies. This is to be the rapid reformation and preparation of those forces referred to in chapter 38 and 39 of Ezekiel. Thus, Gog, Magog, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, and so forth, for the final war against Israel, during which will God magnify and sanctify in the eyes of many nations. In the worldwide economic and social area, an economic crisis and social unrest will break out, thus deep calleth unto deep at the voice of thy wonders, and the revelations, voices, and thunders of our present Lord, so as to help keep the ship of state of being overturned, and a life-saving jacket will be sought. In the worldwide ecclesiastical area, and specifically in the Christendom area, so much needed life-saving jacket will be sought and will be found and will be gladly offered, as mentioned in Judges. Come and put your trust in my shadow. This life-saving jacket will be, as the scriptures have so unmistakably proclaimed, the beast that was is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Brother Russell says in the foreword of the second volume, the Bible points out that about this time the nominal church systems of the world will rise to great prominence again in connection with the civil powers. Finally, as concerning the activities and the circumstances of the deliverance and exaltation of the very last members of God's holy people, it seems that exactly at the coincidence of events referred to above, the great shout is to sound order by the captain of the host of the Lord, saying, then shall be shout. When? Upon the seventh time of the seventh round of Jericho, Christendom, when the ten kings receive power as kings with the beast, and they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Israel's demographic and territorial problem, according to the prophecies, during the first 20 years, since the year 1948, when the nation of Israel was recognized as an independent one by the United Nations, Israel's population within the fatherland was very small in proportion to the area of which it had been taken possession. As a result, the Jews, having to face the additional threat of being surrounded by many and numerous enemies, urged their fellow countrymen all over the world to immigrate to the land of promise. Thus, Ezekiel's prophecy 36, 37, and 38 is in this way fulfilled. Let us read the particular prophecy. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the west seas be filled with flocks of men. The war events of 1956, 1967, and 1973 with the land of Israel marked three great spots on Israel's land and contributed to the fulfillment of the above prophecy. Jews from all over the world arrived to the homeland by the thousands to take part in this war and to take residence in the occupied land. The next 20 years bring us to this day, the Jews' harassment and hate by their surrounding nation is constantly being increased. At the same time, though, Israel's population and progress are being increased. The fall of socialism in the Soviet Union and its allies with similar regimes has opened the doors in this nation for the free collective emigration of Jews to the land of Israel. The result of these events in the second 20 years was that Israel has now become unbearably overpopulated. At this point, the prophet Isaiah presented himself to disclose the claim of the great worry of the children of Israel, resulting from the present problem of the lack of living space within their homeland. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. This time has come as all events are pointing to the solution of this problem in fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. Israel and people round about. From the moment when Israel started regathering in the promised land after World War II, and especially since 1948, when it was recognized as independent nation by the United Nations, the Palestinian land has been shaken off its roots, and Israel's enemies have not stopped even for a brief moment declaring internationally that Israel must once and for all disappear from the Palestinian map and from the face of the earth in general. Israel has been called not only by the people round about it, but also from its enemies afar off, as the Libyans, the Persians, and so forth. A malignant tumor on Palestinian soil that must be forced to disappear. This is the reason why it was not yet been recognized as a nation by them, even though its official recognition by the United Nations has taken place since 1948. If it were possible to give a full and complete account of all the reasons for hatred that Israel's enemies claim, our people would be infuriated by their animosity and brutality, and there would be no doubt left whatsoever about their irrevocable intention for its full extermination, not only as a nation, but also as a seed, regardless of Israel's submissiveness, concession, and territorial concession to them. The claim of all Israel enemies, Palestinians, Syrians, and other Arabs of Muslim, Islamic religions throughout abound and beyond this circle is finally a unified claim. This is the complete, as we noted above, extermination of Israel off the map of the face of the earth. Meanwhile, the seeming suggestion and consensus plans which exist are nothing more than temporary traps created by the inability of those concerned to immediately fulfill their final destructive intentions. Let us now come to the particular current and burning hot events of that area, the promised land and its roundabout people which have shaken the whole world. These particular events can be summarized as follows: Palestinians, Lebanon, Tyre, Sidon, and Damascus. Palestinians, Philistines of old. Thus saith the Lord God, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despised heart to destroy it for the old hatred. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethims, and destroy the remnant of the sea coast, and I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord, and I shall lay my vengeance upon them, Ezekiel. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons, your daughters, into the hand of children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to the people far off. For the Lord hath spoken it. The Philistines are today's Palestinians. They are the ones who fought off Alexander the Great in Gaza, and thus he completely devastated it. Since then, the name Philistine has ceased to be mentioned either in national or individual basis, and has been replaced by the name of that particular area, Palestine. The Philistines, an ancient people and quite combatant ones, for about 120 years, oppressed the Jews in the days of Eli, Saul, and Samuel, and greatly did them wrong. This period is that of the old hatred. Right after this period, we come to the period of AD, when the Jews dispersed to all nations. This seems to be the time when the Palestinians had the opportunity to bring disaster upon Israel for the old hatred, and took vengeance with a despised heart. Moreover, as Joel says, they looted the house of God and took silver, God, gold, and all godly pleasant things, and carried them into their temples. In addition to this, they sold Judah's and Jerusalem's sons to the Greeks. Because of these words, God's righteousness decided them to recompense the Philistine Palestinians. These recompensations consist of the exact same things being done to them by the Jews, since that would bring them back to the promised land, so that they would sell their sons and daughters to the Sabaeans, a people far off. This was God's decision. Who can oppose or recompense it? This is what God says to the Palestinians. Yea, and what have ye to do with me? Will ye render me a recompense? And the prophet adds, if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own heads. And this is indeed what is happening. It is definite that people cannot recompense God directly, but their resistance to his plans and wishes, even in ignorance, is regarded as recompensation against God. The Palestinians are revolting against the Jews within Israel's territory and are attacking them on the outside. But God's recompensation, not only through the hand of the Jews, but also through the hand of the nation in their friendship. The Jordanians, the Lebanese, the Mohammedans, the Shiites, comes in direct blows swiftly and speedily. But what about the Sabaeans, the people far off? In the book of Job, we read that there was a man in the land of Oz, whose name was Job. This man was the greatest of all men of the east. And the Sabaeans fell upon them. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. From this word, in Job's book, it is clearly seen that the Sabaeans are inhabitants of the far east, a land far off from Israel. It has been announced by the international media that the majority of the Palestinian people who had been driven away from the promised land have settled in nations of the far east, such as Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and so forth. The Kuwaiti refugees reach over 500,000. The Palestinians have revolted against the Jews on the west bank of the Jordan and the Strip of Gaza, with demonstration, strongest, arson, murders, and so forth. It seems that the time has come that with the birth of the cause for revolting, they will follow their destiny to the land of the Sabaeans. Their collective deportation have already started. The near future will show how accurately we are looking at this particular event. Israel boundaries are designated by God with his promise to Abraham. They must be obtained and inhabited. There are many Israeli people living in other nations, multiple to those already living on Israel's soil. Those two have to settle back in Israel, as it is written. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth. A great company shall return thither, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. For this great Jewish company to be able to fit in the promised land, Israel's territorial boundaries have to increase. This is why the prophet Isaiah says in 42:20, "The place is too strait for me. Give me place to me that I may dwell." As for the Lord, he has promised, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Lebanon, Tyre, Sidon, open the doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour the cedars. Howl, fairy tree, for the cedar is home, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Basan, for the forest of vineyards is come down. Lebanon seems by God's promise to Abraham to be included in its most part within the territorial boundaries of Israel. Tyre and Sidon are very ancient cities which the Lord Jesus visited and taught in Matthew 15:20. Cities that flourished in the old times in commerce, the arts, navigation, and other fields. Lebanon has nowadays been the Switzerland of the Middle East in the respect of international money accumulation, the center of multinational business headquarters, especially petroleum companies, and the crossroads of business activities between East and West, North and South. The cedar and the fig tree, the forest of the vineyards, appear to symbolize this economic and commercial businesses and the actions of the mighty. Under this tremendous economic flourish, a great danger smoldered. Lebanon was a country with its doors open not only to international economic activities, but also to all kinds of valuable good smuggling, like narcotics, weapons, and so forth, and moreover open to all kinds of propaganda, espionage, religious differences, and disputes. It has been written in the press that there exist more than 30 different sects in Lebanon, Christian, Muslim, and so forth, fanatically hating one another. When then the fullness of the time came by God, all these differences, contrast, and antagonism came to a violent clash, among them leaving ruins behind them and resulting in the mighty ones disappearing from this land. It seems that the soil of this land is getting ready to welcome the Jewish population and Jewish business capital, so that Ezekiel's words 38:13, "To the chief princes of Arash, Gad, Magog, and so forth," will finally be fulfilled. "Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil?" But Brother Russell's words in volume 4, page 553-554, fully advocate this picture. We read the following: "That the Lord is abundantly able to accomplish this, we have no doubt. In every nation, the question, 'What shall be done with the Jew?' is a perplexing one. In one crisis, of the near future, brought about suddenly by the Lord's overruling providence, will doubtlessly lead, as indicated by the prophet, to some concerted action on the part of the nation for promptly conveying them to the land of promise. And as they went out of Egypt in haste with their cattle and goods, and aided by the Egyptians, so that they gave them whatsoever they required, and they will not be sent away empty, but apparently some pressure will suddenly be brought to bear upon the nation, which will result thus favorably to the Israel. Following this, Brother Russell adds. This enterprising race, once re-established in the land of promise, and thus separated for a time at least, for the distress of a nation so prevalent everywhere else, will quickly adapt itself to the new situation, and the hitherto desolate places will again be inhabited. But yet one more wave of anguish must pass over that chastened people. The comparative quiet and prosperity of regathered Israel near the end of this day of trouble, as well as their apparent defenseless conditions, will by and by stimulate the jealousies and invite their plunder by other peoples, so fulfilling the above prophecy of Ezekiel. And we quote Damascus to save time. I'll omit Damascus prophecy. The Lord's strategy, incomprehensible by the human mind, contemplating the Lord's strategic plans and looking at the direction of the world's events toward the fulfillment of His intention, we are more than astounded by the grandeur of each and every executed stage, and grace that surpassed all imagination of our faith. For instance, as it concerns fled Israel. Who could imagine the war events between Iraq-Iran and Iraq-Kuwait before this prophecy is fulfilled? Again, for example, let us refer to spiritual Israel. Who could imagine that during the end of the Gentile times there would be modern means of media like television, satellites, programs, and so forth, with which the Lord had shattered nation iron walls, especially those of socialist nation, so that the message of truth could enter. Furthermore, the iron walls of socialist nation were shattered so that Isaiah's prophet in chapter 23:15-18 would be fulfilled above all expectation. This prophecy concerns the harlot going about the city of Christendom with many sweet songs, so as to be remembered and be turned to her hire, to the glory of the old. Take a harp, sound about the city, go about the city, thou harlot that hath been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayst be remembered. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will of the beast, and agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Great and marvelous are the works, Lord God Almighty. Shout. Shout commands the Lord. Exactly when, though? At the seventh round of the seventh time of the seventh day of the round about Jericho. Raise a war cry and a shout of joy and enthusiasm. A war cry because the beast is ascending out of bottomless pit, and together with 10 kings of the earth shall be making war with them. Raise a shout of joy and enthusiasm, because the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done."
Thank you, Brother Gonos. Brother Gonos did a great deal of preparation, and he has a limited number of copies of his discourse that he's making available to elders. First come, first serve. So they're on the stage to my left to get a preview and to study this in greater detail.
Our dear Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In the name of thy Son and our Lord Jesus, we thank thee for the privilege granted to us to be here and see one another as thy holy people, to be filled and grow in these spiritual truths from the talks of the brethren from thy holy world and our fellowship together under the supervision of our present Lord and Savior. We pray that thy blessing will our hearts during the course of this conversion and to be maintained upon our living to bring this blessing to those who could not be here. We look for thy guidance more than ever before as the days grow more evil and all shall be dissolved, vowing to be more alert and faithful. We ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.